Happy Sunday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. And I just want to say that I have the best life in the world. I just want to say my life is enchanting. My life is enchanted because you are in it. I know. That sounds like some California hippie bullshit. The stuff I used to could not stand, but now only mildly makes me regurgitate. My life is enchanting because you are in it. This is true. This is absolutely true. Even the person this morning who was outside talking loud on Sunday, when everybody knows Sunday is quiet day, I couldn't tell exactly what they were saying. I couldn't hear what they were saying, but I could tell by the tone and the cadence what demographic they were. Speaking of which, the reason that I started this off, this is somewhat rehearsed because I woke up this morning. I'm just so excited and feeling so good. I woke up this morning, just laying in the bed. I couldn't, you know, woke up 7:30, whatever, knowing I didn't have to get up till 9. Drove back from the P-Funk show last night. It was over like at 10, 2 hours coming back. Once again, people on the freeway, 405 North coming out of San Diego. Traffic, it was light, heavy traffic. There was definitely cars on the freeway. It was, you know, you couldn't really pass anybody. But we all was doing 80, 85 miles an hour. All of us. And that made me just feel so good. And before that happened, I left the show and I was in the parking lot and I heard somebody playing I'll Stay. I was like, somebody's playing I'll Stay. Then I had to get gas before I left. And I stopped at the gas station. And the guy that was playing I'll Stay was in there getting gas too. I was like, I'll Stay. And he's like, yeah, I love this shit. And it was the same guy who was standing next to me during the whole show. It's that kind of stuff, people. It's that kind of stuff. I have the best life in the world. And I was speaking demographics earlier. It's not that I'm bragging. Well, I am bragging about the best life stuff, but it's only 20%. It's only 20%. 20% just to get the sensationalized headline and to trigger something. I have the best life. 20%. 30% of it, another 20% is probably sarcasm in that statement. But the rest is to live an example, to set and show an example of my life. It was a time when I would attack other people's opinions, attack other people's logic and probably opinions, and work from a counter narrative. And then I'd switch my thinking and I try to switch my methodology to being more positive. So what I'm doing is I want to be an example. I want to live an example, show y'all an example of what I do, how I do it, and the things that I experience, why I experience them, why I think I experience them. I am proud of my life, but more, I want to live an example. And the reason, one of the main reasons I want to be this example is for all the people out there who think racism exists and the country is bad and everybody is against us and we can't have nothing, we can't do nothing. We need to tear it down and rebuild it. This is the worst country in the world. I don't want to live here anymore. Well, that one might have been a bit drastic, but you know what I'm saying. All those people. And especially the black people with the racism thing. I mean, I'm about as black as obnoxious as you can get. And I've been all around the world. Well, not all around, but I've been a few places. And people love me. People love me. But anyway, I have the best life in the world. George Clinton, Parliament Funkadelic last night. No Garrett Scheider. No Benny Cowan. And I have to admit that when I walked to the stage, huge stage, University of California, San Diego, amphitheater, brand new, just huge, 1 year old. It was their birthday party. This was a college show. And it's been a long time since I've been to a show where everybody was super young. And I don't want to use the word naive or inexperienced. I don't know what the word is, but it was just young. Nobody dancing on beat, just happy, just jumping around. It wasn't even dancing. It was like they were like jumping around like my granddaughter does. I guess technically, since music was on, you can call it dancing. It's been a long time since I've been to one of the shows. I used to go years ago, in San Francisco or Bay Area or other places, and they used to just bug the hell out of me. Just like the whole utopian, my life is a chanty because you're in it statement. Which, like I said, is partly true. Not to understand it, but it still makes me mildly regurgitate. But, and then it just, I just see, I look around, because when they play Nappy Dugout, that slow beat, you got to slow down, and I looked around the whole venue, nobody could slow down. Venue was packed, all them young white kids, happy, spirited, just young. And I was just, two girls over there, I was talking to them. I was like, basically asking them, why y'all here? George Clinton. It's his music. I just love his music. And I didn't forget, but when you ask people that, they're not caught off guard. The statement is just so obvious. It's like they have to stop and realize that they have to explain. I tell them, well, I said, look, I'm like, I'm 60 years old. I know why I'm here. I'm like, why are you here? All this music was made after you were born. They either say my parents or this or George Clinton, and they'll break it down and say the music, the energy, and you see all these young white kids who are like born in the 90s, like born in the 2000s even, there, and they love the music, and they jumping and dancing around or dancing around, and it's been a long time since I've been to one of those shows, because I vowed it. Never go to Santa Cruz again because that stuff bugged me so much. But anyway, I have the best life in the world. And during that Nappy Dugout, I'm just like, I'm doing this, do it to the beat. And I look around, everybody's double timing or jumping around. I had to look on stage to see Miss Nelson. Denisha Nelson just going back and forth. I was like, okay, everybody was doing it so much that I thought something was wrong with me. So I had to always look back up at her. And she was just, going back and forth. And I was like, okay. Whew. But anyway, and during that Nappy Dugout, Sativa Diva came out. LaShonda Clinton, I believe, Miss Clinton came out and sang it. And that threw back. That was memory. She came out and sang something stank. That was memories. Mr. Trey Lou kind of started it, singing it. And during Nappy Dugout. And I seen Miss Nelson look over and say, coming out, and then she came out, and Sativa grabbed the microphone and did like she did when she was younger, little or whatever, years ago. It's still kind of hard, and something stank, and I want some. I was like, ah! It was good. It was just good. It was a good show. It was a very good show. No Garrett Scheider, no Benny Cowan, and I admit, when I walked up and saw that huge stage, and only saw one amp on the right side. I was like, what did Mr. Hampton do now? I was like, what did my hero do now? Oh God. And then literally, and I'm not making this up, literally, I was just getting ready to send Ole Nero a text saying, no Michael Hampton. And I looked up and he was standing there. And it just made me smile. That's why I just love human beings. That is why I love human beings. Because you Life is smarter than I am, and thank God it is. Life is smarter than I am, thank God it is, because I would get bored and I'd be like chewing y'all up and spitting y'all out. It keeps me on my toes. It's never, once you think you know something, it changes. And that's the beauty of life. And that's why we upgrade Windows every 6 months and y'all can't stand it because it changes everything and it never works right. I'm going to see him up there, you know, and after I had figured it was, he was the one that wasn't there, and just naturally just said, oh, Miss Hampton, what did he do now? And he showed up there, and it was good. It was good. And he played Maggot Brain, and let me say this too. He played Maggot Brain. God's Weapon, Trifiel, played the rhythm part beautifully. I was sitting there listening to it. You can hear this nuance in it. Before, it may have came out like, bing, 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 bing. And there was nuance in it. It was just beautiful. The sound was just good. Mr. Hampton's guitar was turned up to 1,000,000,000,000, and that's the way it should be. I believe on lead guitar solos, the guitar should be the loudest thing on the planet. And I'm saying that probably so Mr. Bobby Easton can hear it, because his is never loud enough. I said that after the last Thank You show. And Mr. Easton has, as far as guitars go, in Los Angeles, to me, the most funkadelic-y sound and playing that I hear. It sounds, the tones and the textures, whatever, sounds just like it. But he's never, ever loud enough. He's just a modest cat. He's just a modest cat. Not saying that Mr. Hampton isn't, but, you know, you're supposed to be loud. He can't funkadelic. Hell, he was on the album cover at 17. What else you gonna be? It's like, you know, it ain't my fault if I'm spoiled. I am the way I am because y'all made me that way. Ain't my fault. And yeah, it was just so loud and so clean. And then when Mr. Curry and Mr. Cowan came in on drums and bass, oh, and they had like these tremendous subwoofers that at some points were just too loud and too powerful standing right there in front of us because I was front row. And another thing about this show too, I mean, there was a lot in it. The crowd was so young and so eager. They seemed genuinely eager just to have fun. There was people there who like looked like they ran to get there to the pit just so they could start dancing. Like, oh, we're here now. We're free. We can dance. And I mean, it was just so, it was that kind of energy. And then walking on the campus, everything was so tranquil, you know, just quiet. You know, everybody's just so, you know, ooh, they're just so, you know, not mellow ain't even the word. Just, you know, just low key. You know, and so but they said the crowd was like that, and I look around, you know, I'm looking at my old black 60-year-old ass sitting front row center, standing front row center. I felt weird. I said, you know, some of these kids should be up here. This is my like 200 plus show. I done seen them a zillion times. You know, I should let somebody else have this spot, and I really thought that, but of course I didn't, because I needed to. I need to get what I need to get from it, because I get something from it. So, you know, I'm like, okay, come on, let's be real. Let's be real. So I need to get what I get from it. But there was these two little boys back there, and they maybe 8, 9 or something like that. I mean, they were like really young, 8, 9. When they were standing right there, you know, they were doing their little, you know, thing. They were like, you know, whatever, looking at it, kind of into it enough, you know. And I was like, I should let them come up front. I should let them come up front. And then I saw how, you know, they got pushed back a little bit. You know how you end up letting people get in front of you and stuff. And then at the end, during Atomic Dog, I was like, come on, come here. And I let them have my spot up front. And they looked up. I was like, go ahead, you know, have us, you know, you can have that spot up front. And, you know, and they made me happy I did it, you know. It was, they looked like they were into it. They paid attention, they were standing there, you know, they were even, you know, doing this and all that. So that made me feel good. And plus they were short, so I could stand behind them and see over it anyway. And the crowd had kind of like dispersed a little bit, so I had room to dance. It was nice. It was nice not being in front row, but it was also nice to be front row for Cosmic Slop when Mr. Hampton came, you know, walking to the front of the stage, and Mr. Clinton and them, because the big woofer was right there, and they would actually stand on the woofer, so they were like right there. You know, a bunch of the show because I was center. You know, once I got that, and once I got my flashlight, and once I got my knee deep and my Cosmic Slop, and I got my P-Funk fulfillment, you know, I was like, okay, I'm cool. So Atomic Dog, I just kind of stepped back, You know, and I said, yo, come here, come on. You know, get right here. And it was good. It was really good to see him there and put him up there. And when I look back at me, like, you know, it was good. That's the kind of crowd it was. They were just so young. And these two little girls, they were just so young and eager and just so excited. They were just dancing and jumping around before the show even started. Before, I'm there an hour and a half. As soon as the door was open, they ran right to the front. It was just so, you know. And I was like, I guess I was like that too. And I got there so early, you know, even when I'm late, I'm early. I got there early and it was kind of chilly. So, you know, I'm talking to people and went to the bathroom, whatever. And so I was walking back to the car to get my jacket just in case, because it go down to 74 degrees. It was kind of chilly, you know, because I wasn't moving around down there in San Diego. They got cloud cover. I don't even know if you can call it a marine layer. It's probably like a permanent fixture. Not permanent, but you know what I mean. Yeah, I saw Miss Colors and Mr. Curry pull it up because, you know, they down in San Diego, they drove up and he parked. I was like, oh my goodness. Finally, I get a selfie with Mr. Curry. Because, you know, after the show, he gone. After the show, you see him drop that bass, pick his rapping stuff up, he gone. He out. But I get a selfie with them. Got a selfie with Mr. Payne, as always, Mr. Josian. And then I'm going to get there early. And there's this artist painting on the stage. And I walk over and I look at it. And I'm like, who's that guy? I know, I was like, what's 13 doing in there? And I started laughing because I knew he probably put that together. You know, because entertainment-wise and thinking, you know, that's the kind of things you got to do. You got to think and, you know, promote yourself or whatever. You just got to be that person. I got to get ready to go. This is probably a half hour down to the parking. Parking doesn't open up until 10:05. I'm going to the Steeler game. Row 4, VIP. It's going to be free food, booze. I'll probably, you know, walk down below behind the bench, blah, 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 blah. 50-yard line. And I'm taking a to-go bag. I'm taking one of them grocery bags. Because it's free food. I'm bringing some food home. Because I'm coming home. I'm going to try to get my butt home and get some rest. Because I've been going off 4 or 5 hours of sleep. And I feel pretty good, actually. I've been going off of 4 or 5 hours of sleep. And I feel pretty good. No complaints there. So, what was I saying? So, I walked over there and I was like, what's 13 doing in that thing? And I was like, and he the main... you know, person. You can see Mr. Clinton like almost in the background. And you know, they took that one up there. I was like, who's that in the picture with 13? And he came out and I guess he, you know, not commissioned it, but you know, he had set all that up and, you know, went through them. And I was like, I get it, I understand. And then later the artist did one without 13 in it. Probably it was good. But they deserve it. The kids. Oh, and Brandy, I got to talk about Brandy. Brandy, you know, y'all was all upset she quit. I told her, I saw her before the show. Yeah, I got a picture with Team Tokyo. And I told her, I said, you know, you had folks all broke up over your quitting. And she got up there and she was doing more on stage. It was good to hear her doing more. I think she started a chant. She started like a wobble wobble. I heard her say a couple things, say some new things. Finally, I was like, finally, Miss Scott. Finally, or Miss Scott Clinton, whatever. Finally, just say anything, make noise, do something. Let me hear your voice. And then it fit right in. She'd make up something or just say anything, you know. And I was like, yeah, you know, that's it. And another thing, too, I'm thinking again, I don't know, I probably said this for vocals. Vocals. I think P-Funk might be like my Pittsburgh Steelers, where they promote from within and they try to recruit family. They may not go out and get that free agent that they don't have no like connection to. Because I think the last real singer that P-Funk had may have been Steve Boyd. Even though everybody sings, you know, everybody sings. Greg Thomas sang all Mr. Shatter Sparks last night. You know, he can do it. But, you know, he's no Glenn Goins type singer. And I'm like, wait a minute, NFL Squad got a dude to sound like Glenn Goins. How could P-Funk go? You know, Enemy Squad got somebody who can sing that part. Why don't P-Funk? Why don't P-Funk go out and recruit somebody who can duplicate Gary Shatter? have recruitments, have a cattle call. You know, have people come in all over the country. There's got to be somebody out there who can go out there and do it. And I'm not saying Mr. Scheider can't do it, but ever since I heard him sing Johnny Guitar Watson, I'm like, oh, wow. He sang it so good, it made me go, wow. It made me so good. I'm thinking either he's going to have to take his style and put it over Pete Funk or something. I think it just means he's made because not that he's, you know, he's killing Pete Funk, you know, he's getting it done, but to hear him do Johnny Guitar Watson, he took it someplace. There's a difference. You know, he took that Johnny Guitar Watson someplace. Whereas, you know, he's getting more and more into singing Cosmic Slob, because I remember, you know, years ago it was different now. You know, he's growing into it, getting into it. Yeah, I think he may need just to put his style on it. Even if you got to change it up, change the key, I don't know what the words are, you know, whatever, to get it more his style, which, you know, because if he can bring that, whatever he did, singing Johnny Guitar Watson to Pete Funk, you know, that would be something nice. And also, I was looking at Miss Nelson and Miss Scott. It seems like they don't sing unless Mr. Clinton tells them to. They'll look back. You can see them looking back saying, should I be singing? What do I sing next? I'm like, no, just make up something. Just sing anything you want. You've been there long enough. You know what's next. Especially Brandy. It's like, Brandy, just say anything. Just make it up. You know, lead it. You know, if you forget, you bring it up. You keep it going. They'd be like looking back, what are you supposed to say next? I'm like, no. It's good, though. It was good. Mr. Hampton was good. Mr. Carey was good. Star Colors was there. On the riser for Mr. Carey. They didn't do P-Funk, so I didn't hear that extra drum machine note. Greg Boyer, of course. Trey Lewis. I gotta give it up to Mr. Lewis. He does so much in the background that I'm starting to recognize. The ad-libs, the singing, his raps. He does stuff there. And he's kind of low-key and under the radar, I guess, you know. But he comes to the costume, he dresses the part. And it comes out that he does this thing, his raps, him and his father always tight, him and Mr. Clinton always tight. And, you know, he just kind of goes, you know, stays in the back or whatever. Kevin Goins was there. I think he tried to solo during Jump. Jump got good. Jump, jump. And they started singing, We Want the Funk to Jump. And it worked. They started singing, We Want the Funk to Jump. And it actually worked. I was like, oh, okay. Let me see what else. I can't think of anything else happened. But, I mean, it was like, it was good. Like I said, I have an enchanted life. I live in an enchanted life. 3.5 hour drive down there. I remember I was talking to Aya. And I was like, wasn't it only 2 hours? Didn't it used to only be 2 hours getting down there? Now it's 3.5. Almost no matter when you go. Same route. I'm like, what the hell? I could have swore we used to get down there 2 hours. Now coming back is 2 hours. Coming back was 2 hours. Like I said, I was on the freeway with my fellow human beings to help me live this enchanted life. It was light, heavy traffic. There was cars, you know, pretty much all around. But we all was doing 85, 90 miles an hour. And the coolest part, there was nobody behind me. For some reason, I guess I got right behind the pack. And for a long time, there was no car behind me, running up all against me, you know, trying to, you know, of course, every now and then you got somebody going by doing 90, 100 miles an hour, trying to go in and out. And I'm like, you ain't going nowhere. Look at them cars up there. You ain't going nowhere. What you trying to do? You just got to wait till it breaks up and then you can get by. Yeah, but there was nobody like running behind me or anything. I think I would stay behind the pack, right behind the pack. Perfectly for a long time. We was doing 85, 90. I was just so proud. I was just so happy, human beings. I'm just so happy to be a part of y'all. I'm just so happy to be a part. And I've talked plenty of stuff about human beings and people or persons or whatever. You know, I have my qualms about humanity. And there was a time where I didn't want to fully assimilate. I didn't want to assimilate. Not that I am assimilated now. You know, I still got to be me. I still got to be contrary. I still got to be on the outside. I'm not a team player, so to speak, you know, but I just love when we get together and do it. I really, really do. I live an enchanted life because of all of y'all. And I mean, I just got to admit it, no matter how hippie it sounds, no matter how much I'm throwing up in my mouth when I say it, it's because of you. It really is. I just said it when I heard I'll stay at the gas station, everything for that. And it was the same guy who was standing next to me doing the whole show. And, you know, let me let the kids get up and all the kids at the show. And the kids, you know, have my spot at the show. And just the band members and just the concession people and just everything. Just everything. It's just good. And then now I'm getting ready to go down to the stadium. Probably 30, 40,000 Steeler fans. It's going to be more, y'all. There's going to be more human beings to keep doing. It's the weekend, and it says 30 minutes to get down there. I wanted to get on this exerciser really quick, you know, to get some steps in. I parked a mile, like 1 mile. You can pay $70. You can pay $70 and park right there at the stadium. I paid $25. I got parking with. Actually, SoFi Stadium actually uses parking with. And I'm parked like a mile away. So I'll get a mile and a mile, and hopefully I'll get some steps around the stadium, get my 10,000 in. Game be over at 4. I could be home by 6, maybe before. I could be horizontal and just chilling for tomorrow. Get ready for the work week. My name is Jeff Scott Mitchell. This is going to continue. But not now.